on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. This is Ever Beyond. It is the 25th of September. We're finally through that famous equinox. And hopefully everybody's kind of back home from your pilgrimages that, no doubt many of you have been taking over the last few days, going to various places, doing your thing. Hopefully, you didn't get too sick. I got too sick. I got very weakened, but we'll be talking about that. Because tonight we have our regular, Eastern flavored health expert, Shailene Tetreau. I like to say it like that. It's not your name, but anyway. We'll be talking today about Ayurveda and aging, exactly what it is that, causes our cells to degrade and stuff like that. So welcome, Shailene. How are you?
Thank you. I think you always introduce me very well, actually, because you say it with the proper French Canadian accent.
It's the worst accent in the world.
No, it's the best. It's the best. No. Well, it's
always made me laugh when I was a kid to hear my dad talk, you know.
Yeah.
What's that sound coming out of your mouth, Dad?
I know, kind of twangy. It's only second to the Boston accent, which is kind of what I carry sometimes. It comes out. So I'm really happy to be back. It's been about 4 months or so, and I think I've been returning to do the show with you, JP. It's been over a year now, so.
Oh yeah, I think we've had about about fifth cycle or something.
Yeah,
because you said come on every season. I thought that's a good idea. So how are you finding it? So we're back. Are we back to the place where we started?
I think we are. Yes. And so it's almost like our anniversary, JP.
Oh.
Which is one.
I bought you some flowers. But I left them at the shop.
I'd be happier with some shungai, actually. That would be wonderful.
Right. Yes, indeed. Nancy, if you're listening, Shailene will be contacting you for some shungites and some nuggets of stuff. I tell you, I've been going around Ireland putting little pieces of shungai inside bits of rock and significant places and stuff. And
that's so great.
Loading it with love and quantum entanglements.
Kind of like you're being a steward of the land.
It seemed where I went, where we finally ended up, it was like the place, the flame had gone out and it was gone all soggy. The whole place was soggy.
Right.
And, my feet got soggy when I walked in the churchyard, and there was no roof on the church, you know. But anyway, we gave it a little spark. So we'll see what happens.
And that's what you can do with Ayurvedic medicine for a person. Help them return their vitality and their spark. So I thought I'd give maybe a little bit of a outline for some things that we could talk about today. Since I'm only on once in a while, I think I'll probably give a brief introduction, because a lot of people don't really know what Ayurvedic medicine is. And when I'm speaking tonight, that's really where I'm going to be speaking from, is from that tradition. And then I'm going to get more specific and kind of focus more on the idea of aging and the perspective from Ayurveda and some things we can do to help nurture that time in our lives when we begin to really feel the effects of aging. So if that sounds good to you, I think I'll just start where I'm going to start.
Sounds good to me, and away you go.
Okay. So Ayurvedic medicine has been around for a very long time. It's one of our traditional ancient medicines that one of its origins is from India. And it's said to be about 5,000 years old and probably longer. The belief is that it's 3 to 5,000 years old because that's when some of the ancient texts were written, some of the Vedas were written. But I feel it's actually much older than that because I think it started as an oral tradition where the masters would hand the information down to their students orally and through memory, which, of course, is a really important way of transmitting knowledge. So it's a very old tradition, and it's a tradition that views the human body and mind and spirit as all important, those three aspects of a person to be equally important in terms of maintaining health and vitality. And it also sees the human body as not separate from the rest of the existence or natural world. So a way to heal the human body is to incorporate other aspects of nature and basically via the qualities that are inherent in all things. And so the qualities inherent in all things, there's about 20 qualities that are recognized. And I usually talk about the qualities when I come on your show, JP, just because they're so fundamental to understanding the basis of Ayurveda. And so some of the qualities, for example, I'll just give a few examples, would be 10 pairs of opposites. So a few examples would be hot and cold. And another example would be dry and moist. So you see how hot and cold, of course, are opposites. And those qualities are inherent in qualities that create an individual.
Sorry, so we lost you. Inherent in.
Oh, inherent in each individual. So, for instance, I have a lot of the hot quality within myself, whereas another person may have more of a cold quality. So, and we've talked about this before in past shows. So, but for today, we're going to kind of focus in on some specific qualities that have to do with the time of life where aging starts to really manifest. Now, of course, aging begins as soon as we come into this existence. It begins with our first breath. It begins even when we're first created physically in the womb. But we sort of start to feel the effects of aging, consider the effects of aging, generally for men around the age of 60. So, JP, you still have some time.
Tick tock.
Yeah. And for women, it's usually at menopause. So it's a little bit earlier for women. And so the first stage of life is considered to be from birth up until adolescence. So pretty much babyhood and childhood. That's the first stage of life. The second stage of life is from adolescence up through the age of 50 to 60, depending on who you are. And so each of these stages of life have certain qualities attributed to them. And for the final stage of life, when we start to see the effects of aging, the qualities that we see most predominantly, I'll name a few, are cold, dry, mobile, light, subtle. These all qualities kind of interact with each other. And when I think about those qualities, I think a lot about the elements air and ether. Air and ether, they're both very spacious and mobile. They're both quite dry. And they're also very subtle as opposed to gross or dense. An opposite example would be earth and water. Those are much heavier, denser elements. So when we reach that stage of life, the end stage of life, our bodies actually start to become lighter. Our physicality becomes a little bit less stable, and we become sharper in quality because we start to lose our physicality. Our mind often can become lighter and less stable as well. That's a tendency that can happen quite easily in the final stage of life. And often this is looked upon negatively, but it can be considered a natural process as well. And it's really just our physical bodies preparing to transcend to the next dimension or experience that we're going to have after this life. So, it's good to, for us, I think as a culture, I know in the US, I'm not sure how it is in Scotland, it may be quite similar. Our elders are not considered that important right now. And that's really a strong reflection of an imbalance in our culture that we really need to take a look at and, try to heal. We need to heal that piece. For some reason, our cultures seem to be quite obsessed with the second stage of life, the stage of life where we're the most fiery in our existence. The second stage of life, so before the stage of aging, is where we're out doing things. We're raising a family if we have children. We're getting involved heavily with our occupations, our jobs, whatever they may be. And I think there's a strong focus on that period of life as opposed to the end stages of life. And it's a shame because we have so much that we could learn from our elders. In a lot of older traditions and cultures, you know, our elders are revered and taken care of and nourished. Whereas now, unfortunately, they're separated a lot from their families because the people in the fire stage of their life have to work so much that they don't have any time or energy to care for the elders. So there's a lot of separation happening right now. And it would be important to try to unify the three stages of life together more. So I know in a lot of cultures, grandparents actually look after the babies and the children more. And that's a really beautiful way to connect the beginning stage of life to the end stage of life. So just to kind of recap, so the qualities for the end stage of life are mobile, dry, light, sharp is one, subtle is another. And those qualities describe one of the main doshas, one of the main, subtle essences of seen and described and understood in Ayurveda, which is called Vata. And so Vata is a combination of the elements air and ether. And Vata is responsible for all of the motion and movement within our bodies, no matter how old or young you are. So some examples of that would be the motion of respiration, the beating of our heart, our nerve impulses, moving our muscles, you know, being able to move our bodies. And also the movement of our minds, of our thoughts. And one of the actions in our lives that actually accelerates aging is the movement of our mind. It's called parinama, motion of time. So there's a natural motion of time, which is aging, which is just living our lives from year to year, and the natural degradation of the body through time. And then there's also motion of the mind. And so some people's minds, their thoughts move much faster than other people. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes it's really important to actually learn to master stillness within our minds. That actually can help to slow down the effects of aging, the more challenging effects of aging. So I guess we could go through some common imbalances, unless you have anything you want to put in there, JP. You might be off getting a cup of tea.
No. You're on. You're the only. But when I did it earlier in the evening, and I was completely mid flow, as it were, in the bathroom.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yeah.
I'm actually here. I'm actually sitting here, you know.
Oh, great. So, well, I just wanted to say that from one of the texts that I have here, it's called the Ashtanga Hridayam. And so it's one of the older texts. And, there's a quote here that I just wanted to read out, that really kind of speaks highly, of course, of Ayurveda. It just says a person desirous of a long life, which is the means for achieving Dharma, which is our path. Dharma means a personal path. So any person who's desirous of a long life for achieving Dharma, Artha, which is wealth or prosperity, and Sukha, which is happiness in the form of pleasure and enlightenment, should repose utmost faith in the teachings of Ayurveda. So it's just a little plug for Ayurveda. If you wish to live a long life so that you can fulfill your path, which is different for every single person, in order to achieve prosperity, happiness, and enlightenment, you should follow Ayurveda, basically.
It's kind of self, what's that word, self-sustaining, this whole thing, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is.
It's bubbling itself up. But I see, you know, I see what you mean, because it sees the world in a different way. In a way, there was a kind of Western medical tradition that was connected with astrology that has been completely swept away.
Sure.
And has a kind of parallel to this, what you're talking about. And it's like, we had medical traditions, Western had medical traditions that, that again, it's the Vatican's trying to stomp on it and give us pills of stuff we already used. Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile. Yes.
I know.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult right now for some Western medicine practices. The small hometown practices are having a difficult time staying afloat, because of politics and other nasty things. So, but anyway, so let's see. So Vata, which is air and ether, it also has, certain times of day that it's connected to. It has a season that it's connected to, certain climates, on the earth that it's more connected to based on its qualities. And then of course the time of life, which I just talked about, the final stage of life. So, the time of day that it's connected to is three in the afternoon to about seven in the afternoon. And so if you think about most of us at three in the afternoon, most of us, especially if you're doing some kind of a 9-to-5 type job or something like that, 3 o'clock is usually when people have a little bit of a lag, like an energy lag, especially if they're having a hard time taking care of themselves. A lot of people will go for like a little bit of caffeine or sugar or something at that time. So 3 o'clock tends to be somewhat of a challenging time. We're beginning to transition from the daytime into the evening time. So that's associated with, Vata. And then again, in the middle of the night, from about 3 to 7, or a little bit earlier, maybe closer to 2 to 6 or so, in the middle of the night. And so that the elements air and ether, which have a lot of mobility to them, that's a time when a lot of people will experience insomnia. Whenever I'm working with a patient and they're having trouble sleeping, I'll ask them, oh, do you notice what time you wake up? And a lot of them will say, oh, I always wake up at 2 a.m. or I always wake up at 3 a.m. And I immediately think, oh, of course, this is Vata coming in. This is air and ether coming in and
the witching hour.
Moving on. Yeah.
It is also right. The witching hour. So there is a connection with the Vata quality of
yes.
The communication between the realms. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, air and ether. So if you think of ether, that's the least.
Absolutely. Air and ether. The mental body, the mental realm, where your dream body is, and the ether realm, which is where how your dream body travels. Interesting.
That makes sense. Yes, ether is connected to the idea of space, spaciousness, in Ayurveda. So yes, there's a pretty direct correlation there. So Vata is definitely about, less substance. You know, it's not as substantial as the other two doshas, as Pitta, and certainly not as substantial as Kapha. And, so if you think about our elders, a lot of them, so think, you know, like quite elderly, a lot of elders, unless they're born with an incredibly strong physicality, and some people of course are, the ones that like, just really keep keep going and going forever, and they just have so much vitality and strength in them. But for the most part, our elders, they tend to get a little bit smaller in size. So there's a little bit of, their spine tends to shrink a little bit, the space between the vertebra. So they tend to get a little bit, shorter in height and a little bit more frail, and their muscle tones, begins to wane away. And that sharpness, you can start to see their elbows a little sharper. And then also, you know, there can be challenges with memory and with the mind. A lot of memory loss can start occurring in our elder years. Osteoporosis, can be a very common imbalance. And so there's really great practices that Ayurveda can offer to help people sort of, keep these things a little bit more at bay or from even happening at all. Particularly if you can start some certain practices earlier on in your life. But there's things that, elders can incorporate at any time as well. So, we can talk a little bit about that, and I can also talk about some precursors to the more, the deeper imbalances that happen. For instance, like if a person has a propensity for, and you have to forgive me, JP, it always goes back to poop. I always talk about poop.
Sweetheart, I got a thing about it too. It's, right, cause, okay, let's deal with the difficult subject, right? Because, and you know, this is something that came up on the holiday, the whole idea of going to the bathroom and how people are really embarrassed about it. And it has got to the point that we are so programmed that the worst thing that everybody complains about is the best thing that could ever happen to any human being at any day. Cause if you Yep. didn't, if you didn't poo right, you would explode yeah. or die or both
yes,
or all three.
Exactly. Well, actually, but
Shailin, please allow me to complete this little nugget because this
please,
is
after you, my dear.
This little
after
nugget. You. Oh, boom. Anyhow, the act of opening your base center allows you know, if your regular centers are kind of more or less clear. And you open your base center and your crown center will open, and that's when you can bring in inspirations. And so
yes.
a lot of people will almost get embarrassed about the idea that came to them on the toilet.
Right.
But it's not. You're actually praying. Can you imagine how people would really react to this idea? Is that actually going to the John is praying because you're opening up your crown center, you're opening up your base center, you're bringing in the light, you're recycling, whatever you've eaten as a holy sacrament to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could take a much better, positive view of this thing.
Well,
What do you think, Jillian?
I completely agree with you, and so does Ayurveda, because one of the fundamental ways to create imbalance in the body is to suppress natural urges. So suppressing passing gas or crying or defecating or urinating will absolutely create disease in the body. And so it's fundamentally important. Yeah. And when someone has something like chronic constipation, they're incredibly unhappy. You know, it affects their whole spirit. So, and that was something I was going to talk about. So someone with chronic gas and constipation, if that is not worked with, over the years, it actually eventually leads to osteoporosis. That's one of the, most major ways that osteoporosis occurs according to the understanding of Ayurveda. Because vata, air and ether, there's home places where our doshas sit in the body, exist in the body. So vata, pitta, and kapha, for those of you who are familiar with those terms, vata's home is actually in the colon. So our seat of air and ether actually sits in the colon. And then for pitta, it's in our midsection around our liver and spleen area. And then for kapha, it's actually our lung area and throat and nasal passages. That's kind of the major home. So for Vata, if you're not experiencing the correct movement of elimination, then really large imbalances can occur. So one is osteoporosis, and another one through time, like say a person experiences gas and constipation, a lot of anxiety, eventually that will affect the mind. So there could be problems with memory loss, or even dementia. You know, this is happening over time, of course. So, yeah. So I just saw in the chat. Sorry, someone in the chat just said, I'm so programmed to love poop talk in Ayurveda. That's great. Happy to hear it. So it's really, if you're a person that experiences a lot of gas and constipation, that it's really important to try to address that as soon as possible. I can talk about some ways to help alleviate that condition as well as the emotion of anxiety. If you think about the emotion of anxiety and fear, it has a lot of movement to it. Anxiety doesn't settle. It has a lot of like agitation and movement within the body. If you sit with yourself when you're feeling anxious, you can feel that kind of jagged, rough motion within yourself. I tend to feel it in my head a lot and also in my chest area. You know, like my breath will get tight. My mind will become agitated and sensitive. Of course, your heart starts to race and your adrenals and your kidneys also are affected. So it's good to observe yourself, see what emotions come up for you. If you're experiencing a lot of anxiety, there are definite practices that you can put into place to help alleviate that as well. So we can certainly talk about that. Unfortunately, a lot of our elders experience a lot of anxiety. That's a very common emotion. If you think about our oldest elders have maybe lost a lot of loved ones. They're one of the few left of their generation, so they're feeling some isolation, maybe some separation from younger generations, and that can create a lot of fear, as well as no proper preparation for the next step, you know, after this life. That can also create a lot of fear. And of course, you know, that's something that needs to be nourished as well. So do you have anything coming up for yourself, JP? Any of these things ring a bell for you, or, you know, like a familiarity with, constant anxiety? It seems like you've worked through that piece quite a bit, actually. Insomnia, although you actually have a unique schedule. So I wonder how your sleep is.
Yeah, it's really hard to say whether I've got insomnia or not, because I sleep when I'm tired.
Mm-hmm. And that's
and I
not
do sleep during a 24-hour cycle. I do get that sleep. It's just
right,
not
but it's
fixed.
Not at night.
Yeah, or at night. But I black out my room completely.
Yes, you get that darkness.
I like must the have darkness. I have also multicolored. I've got multicolored lamps.
Mm-hmm.
That I can program with any color. So I can do color healings in my bedroom as well.
Right, right. So someone asked a question in the chat. Can we go
please,
to that?
Please. Is it so for you?
Someone asked, what about physical injury or chronic disease? I can't read that word. Chronic disease that
probably caused.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, I see. So Vanessa's saying, have you got a... If you have a physical injury or a chronic disease that causes that elimination balance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
okay.
There's a whole series of levers and cogs, isn't there?
There is, but with chronic disease, it's hard for people to remember that before they inherited that chronic disease, what was happening with their mind, digestion, that kind of thing before that got set into place. And then in physical injury, the actual act of a sudden harm to the body is actually filled with Vata, because it's usually quite a frightening experience. And, physical injury is generally quite fast, you know, like it's a fast, sharp kind of event. But those would be physical injury or congenital deformity or something like that. That's more karmic in nature. So, and that's a whole nother tangent. If someone's born into this existence, with some kind of, challenge, like a physical challenge that would prevent proper elimination, then there could be a much larger reason why that would be. And some of it could be it's a really individual, personal kind of reason, and it's so difficult to say, oh, they came into this world with that ailment, that physical ailment, or that congenital ailment or deformity because they did this in a past life. It's not necessarily like that. So it can get quite complicated, yeah.
Because it's one of these things, isn't it, that you get an imbalance from the medicines that you take, for a start. And you get an imbalance from the foods that you're eating. I think a lot of it is to do with the environment and the foods that you're eating.
Well, it's even before that.
And also chemical exposure.
Chemical exposure, sure. But it's also, our minds are so powerful. How you're eating food is just as important. So when I mean how you eat your food, certain practices like taking a pause before you begin to eat and offering some kind of gratitude about the nourishment you're about to take in actually has a huge healing effect, just as much as the quality of it, maybe even more so, I would say. And also, you know, taking a breath so that you switch your mind and your attention from whatever you were doing before you ate to the moment of eating. So it's bringing you back into the present. It's also important when people are eating not to watch or listen to anything that will cause fear. I actually had a patient, I have a patient, and she's in her 90s and she's a wonderful woman. And she, for a time, she was watching or listening to the news as she ate. And she did this for years. And so part of her practice, her new practice, and she was open to it, which I was really happy about that. She was open to turning off the news and putting on some kind of music that she enjoyed, particularly classical music. And one of the symptoms that she was having went away. So one of the physical symptoms that she was experiencing when she ate went away. So it's really important to think about our practices surrounding taking in nourishment, not just the type of food that we eat. And that it is important, of course, to consider the type of food because there is a broader impact on the earth. But we also have to start simply with how we approach things with our mind and our intention and attention. So, should I answer more questions or keep going on my own?
Well, it's completely up to you, Shailene. But,
yeah.
If you like doing the question thing, then do the question thing. If you prefer doing your own thing, then do your own thing. Whichever makes whichever way today, as you're feeling right now, makes you feel better. Because I'm complete. See, I tell you, I've been on a very spontaneous moment thing.
And that's incredibly vata.
Vata.
Being spontaneous. And I'm trying, and kind of improv. That's all about creativity and movement and
jazz.
Yeah, jazz is extremely vata. Extremely, yeah. Someone asked, is vata a hormone or adrenaline? I don't understand the question.
Let me just say that vata is a quality that is not a physical thing like a liquid.
No, it moves. It moves physical things in our body, physical fluids. It's the great mover. It's what moves things. It's extremely subtle.
It's the force.
Yeah, you can say
essentially because
force.
You know. Let me just say that this week we live by the force. you know, we allowed the force to flow through us. At some points it was with me, and at some point it was with my partner. And it was just brilliant. We just surrendered to it every moment, every day. We didn't plan anything. We just allowed it to, all right, let's go this way. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And it was. It was fantastic. And we found ourselves in, all right, oh yeah, this is like that. Oh yeah. We saw we had a completely shamanistic perspective of the whole journey. I was driving a car. That was kind of auto, you know, so shamanic autopilot.
Well, I think that happens when we kind of do mundane tasks, particularly if you were driving somewhere where it wasn't too busy. I don't know if you're driving in a city or not.
Oh, no, we drove as fast as we could away from the city. It was, yeah, so it was very much like here in Scotland, which is pretty sparse.
Yeah. You know, I used to live in Scotland. Well, I lived in Scotland for 6 months, and I tried driving a few times, and it was absolutely terrifying.
Where were you, in northern or southern Scotland?
I was near Edinburgh.
Oh, no. That would be murder.
No, but I lived rurally. I lived about 45 minutes south of Edinburgh, near Dunfermline. Is that how you say it?
Dunfermline, perfectly pronounced. Aye.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
You didn't say Dunfermline, which sounds like some ointment.
I used to say Edinburgh, so.
Well, America, what can I say? Anyway. There's Scotland. But anyway, yeah, it's much less busy up here. It's very much more rural.
So like you were doing not a very stressful activity. It was somewhat repetitive and mundane. So when we get into that state of mind, then sometimes other things that can occur.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that.
Well,
you know, like people washing the dishes and then they receive a great insight because they're in a relaxed state.
I've been driving for years and it's second nature to me. I'm like a taxi driver. And so, yeah, I just settled into it, and we went into this zone that was completely in the moment and completely spontaneously choosing one way or another or which way to go or how fast to go. And everything just worked out perfectly. We found bed and breakfasts that were just perfect. We found one that's called the Blue Dolphin. You know, come on. So good old
wonderful.
Pleiadian connections in there. You know, and,
I never knew. I'm kind of naive to some of the connections of star families, but I found out fairly recently that dolphins and Pleiadians are sort of the same.
Yeah,
they're the same kind of being. I've definitely had a very strange dolphin hybrid human dream before. It's pretty amazing.
Really?
But and I talked to Mary Rodwell about it. Yeah, I did a regression with her because it was just so bizarre that I had to talk to her about it.
Heard of Erin McCullum, have you?
No, I haven't.
Ah, human-dolphin hybrid super soldier.
Ooh, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, these were quite friendly.
Good.
These beings.
Good.
They were, like, incredibly friendly, yeah. They were very affectionate. I was like, whoa!
Too affectionate, huh?
I'm like, whoa.
Because they can see right through us. You know, we're like transparent, like jellyfish to them.
Wow.
In their sonar. Imagine.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Beep.
Wow. Well, sound is very much vata, air and ether.
So we're getting questions in the chat room who can't spell how these things are spelled. Because it's easy.
Oh, of course.
Because the subtleties of pronunciation are better if we can. So can you spell them? I'll type them. You spell them for me. The three, these humors, the vata.
Well, vata, V-A-T-A. That's comprised of the elements air and ether. That's mostly what we'll be speaking about tonight because it's highly associated with the, end stage of life.
Yep.
The aging stage of life. And then pitta, P-I-T-T-A. That's comprised of a lot of fire and a little bit of water, and that is associated with the middle stages of life. So from adolescence to right before aging, like 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And then kapha, which is K-A-P-H-A. Some people say kapha, and some people say kapha.
Mm-hmm.
That is associated with earth and water. And that's babyhood and childhood. That's the stage of life that
it's
connected.
So it's going backwards in time. So it starts off kapha, earth and water, then becomes water and fire, then becomes air and ether.
That's correct. Yes.
The seven stages of man. All the world's a stage. Yeah.
It is a stage. Oh my goodness. It sure is. Someone had a question about thyroid. Oh, there it is. Is there a means to restore hormonal balance or kidney and thyroid function to regulate hormonal balance? Yes, there is. That can be a deeper imbalance that may take quite a bit of time. It really depends on what's going on for the individual. There's so many different ways that Ayurveda will view an individual and diagnose, make a diagnosis. There would be body therapies that would be involved. There is a process called Panchakarma, which means five actions, which is preceded by a preparation phase for the patient and then also a recovery phase after Panchakarma that are all equally important. And so there's been some great results, restoring hormonal balance. It's also great to, in this case, to look at the quality of your foods. If you're able to eat organic and, organic foods will make a big difference for that, of course. But it really depends on what happened for you. You know, is it due to some major traumas in your life? Is it due to, overwork and not enough sleep? Like what created the hormonal balance, in the first place? Is it adrenal fatigue? Is it, in this case, you said kidney and thyroid. Yeah, they're all related, of course. Is it due to a certain allergy? That's sort of confusing the thyroid gland. That can happen a lot. So, yeah, there's so many treatments and ways of working. So that's kind of the longer answer. So yes, there is a means to restore hormonal balance. A pause from eating meat, it can be helpful for sure. It's not, necessarily going to be the one and only thing. And for some people, they may actually need bone broths to help restore hormonal imbalance. It really depends on the individual. So I'll talk about, I think I could talk about at this point, just a few things that can help people in the aging years of life or before they even reach that point. So like I said before, Vata, the Vata time of life, which is predominantly air and ether, a lot of motion and movement, can really be benefited by practicing regular routines. In Ayurvedic medicine, a lot of the responsibility is really given to the patient to experience and work with their own healing, because that's ultimately where your healing comes from. It comes from yourself. And an Ayurvedic doctor, an Ayurvedic practitioner simply just helps to guide and support that person. Because through our own learnings, we've learned more efficient and effective ways to help with a person's personal healing journey. So regular routines, that's kind of going down into the trenches. You know, when you start to become really involved with your own healing, it's not like take this magic pill and you're better. Although I'm sure there's some people that can work that way. And healing can happen spontaneously and it can happen, without having to do anything necessarily. But for a lot of us, we have to kind of go down into the trenches and make some changes and additions to our life. And I think even making those changes, even though they can be challenging, they're just as important as any kind of healing that's going to happen. But, so regular routines would, when I say that, I mean waking at the same time every morning and eating your meals at the same time every day, going to sleep at the same time at night. And that sounds horrendously boring to a person who has a lot of air and ether in their makeup, in their constitution. But what I try to tell my Vata patients, if they are able to incorporate regular routines, then they're able to really express their creativity and their vitality so much more. So it's really worth kind of working against your tendencies, your unconscious tendencies. So if you're the type of person, like, you know, when I say go to sleep at the same time every morning, eat your meals at the same time, if any of you are thinking like that's a completely undoable thing to do, or if it sounds horrendously dull, or you don't even know where to begin, you probably have a lot of vata, either within your constitution or you're having some kind of imbalance that is very much driven by air and ether. So regular routines, that's super important. There's also really specific and helpful times for each individual to actually go to sleep and wake up and have meals, but that's getting a little bit too specific at this point. So some other practices that can be helpful is to certainly to eat seasonally. And when I mean eat seasonally, I mean whatever vegetables and fruits and grains are growing around you in your area, to try to actually incorporate those more into your diet. So you're connecting more with what is growing around you instead of, you know, eating the papaya from halfway across the world. Not to say that you can't enjoy that once in a while, but trying to eat seasonally will really help to bring you back into balance. The qualities of the fruits and vegetables that are grown at the time of year that you're eating them will help to alleviate any imbalances that can occur. So eating seasonally. And for Vata people, some great foods to eat would actually be root vegetables. So think about the idea of opposite qualities helping to bring balance. So let's say a person is experiencing a lot of cold type qualities within them, cold kind of imbalances, then they'll need warming substances to help bring balance. So root vegetables, they're dense, they're heavy. Of course, they're quite nutritious. They're grounding. That really helps to balance the light and airy qualities of Vata. So very well-cooked root vegetables, like a nice root vegetable soup or stew that's well-spiced. And when I mean spiced, it doesn't necessarily have to be like cayenne pepper. I mean, just using a lot of herbs in your cooking. So that helps to make the food a lot more digestible. So that's another practice to try to incorporate more well-cooked root vegetables into your diet. It's very, very grounding. Yes, bananas. It's funny. Bananas are great too. They are great. In one sense that they, if you think about a banana, they're very dense. they're like the densest fruit that we have. But they can actually be somewhat hard to digest. So if anyone has any trouble with their digestion, it can be a little bit difficult to digest. Root vegetables, for some reason, are a lot easier to digest, probably because they're cooked. So in Ayurveda, we actually use cooking quite a bit and cooking with spices quite a bit to help with the digestive process. A lot of soups. So since Vata is quite dry in nature, that's one of the largest qualities of Vata is dryness. A lot of soupy foods are really great to eat. Particularly in our elder years, eating a lot of soupy, well-spiced foods, that can be very helpful. If you notice, as we age, our skin has a tendency to get quite dry and can even tear a little bit because the skin gets very thin. It loses its physicality more. So it's really great to bring a lot of moist nourishment into our diet. And also, there's this idea of oleation. So oil has a quality of heaviness. Shnigda, which is the name for oiliness, also means love. So the practice of using oils as self-care, and when I mean using oils as self-care, I mean using oil for self-massage on your entire body every day is a really, really great practice. And it's something that most people should do, but definitely all elders, that should be a practice that they should do. because when you use oil, particularly sesame oil, raw, organic, unrefined sesame oil, you put that on your body, you're nourishing your skin. You're also creating this wonderful layer of protection on your skin and for yourself. And it also helps to kind of enliven your digestive system and your energy levels a little bit, particularly if you do it in the morning right before you bathe. And a lot of times people, like in the morning, you want to do oleation in the morning before you bathe. A lot of people think that oil will wash off, but if you just use a little bit of soap, there will be a thin little residue of oil left. And if you really feel like you have super dry skin, you can also add more oil afterwards. Also, taking oil internally is great, and that could be olive oil that you add to your soup or your grains. Ghee, which is clarified butter, is also used quite extensively in Ayurveda. It's very easy to digest. All different constitutions can digest ghee quite well. Most of us are probably not eating enough oil. And so one easy way to remedy that is whatever you're cooking, particularly if it's vegetarian, it's great to just add a tablespoon of sesame oil or coconut oil or olive oil to your food and try to incorporate more of that. You could put oil in 2 or 3 meals a day, and that would be completely fine, particularly if you're experiencing really, really dry skin or you have a tendency to having a propensity for brittle bones or something like that.
But Chinnin,
yes.
I remember when people say, hello, spider. Spider's just crawled right down my face. All right. I remember that eating oils and eating all that fat stuff was bad for you and made you fat. Is that a lie? Were they lying to me? Have I dried myself out and tried to replace it with salt water?
Well, there's a couple things going on. So your individual constitution, it depends what your individual constitution is. If you...
We the people...
Excuse me?
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Are you speaking about yourself personally or in general?
Well, I mean, in general, but like, actually, I'm pretty well hydrated. I haven't got very many wrinkles. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, I've got a, you know, chubby body. So it's kept me preserved with a sort of baby face beneath this beard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You probably have, I keep thinking that you're a kappa vata. Or
so vata kappa. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Let me turn on the camera. Let me turn on the camera and you can tell using your special superpowers. There you go. You can full screen.
Yeah.
Full screen.
Yeah.
Right.
Should I go full screen? Yeah, I should.
Go full screen.
Oh, yeah, cause you're just a little, just a little window there. Let's see.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. Look, can you hold up your palm, the palm of your hand?
Which hand?
Either one. Oh, yeah, but back it away so I can see your fingers more. Yeah. Is your palm, it's hard to tell because of the angle of the camera. It looks like it's more rectangular shaped as opposed to square. Would you say that's true?
Yeah.
The palm? Yeah. I would say it looks a little bit rectangular and then your fingers are like
sausages on the
end. Yeah, they're definitely thick. So that's more kappa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're a combination, kappa vata. Yep.
My fingers
are all
spirals.
Do your nails break or are they quite strong?
They break too easily because I play guitar.
Yeah. Oh, so if you didn't play guitar, would they break?
Yeah, they're quite brittle. I'm always like banging into them and, you know, I've seen guys with really like claw-like fingernails that can mm-hmm. do all sorts of clever things like, you know, pick up coins and, you know, out of things.
Yeah.
But mine would break if I tried that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And it's hard to tell because of your beard. Is your chin rounder or is it really pointy?
No. I've got a round face and a round chin. There's nothing under there. There's nothing. Look. It's just beard. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but my face kind of goes kind of around like that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it actually has a little bit of a point to it. I don't think it's all that round. Yeah.
I'll show you some old passport photos. That'll convince you.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. And what's your height?
I have an oval face. I would say it's not a round face, but an oval face.
Yeah. It's not. It's not quite round.
What's that word? God, I can't remember. Golden ratio. You know. the sort of like a credit card. Anyway, and what's my feet like? No.
What's your height?
5'8".
Okay. All right. Yeah. Kapha Vata. That's what I'm getting.
Kapha Vata.
Sounds like wonderful. It's good for radio.
Prog band.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's good for radio, JP.
So is it? It's the perfect face for radio.
And you seem, and you seem to love, creating, you have a lot of ideas. That's what it seems like to me.
Too many.
Well, there you go. It's hard to finish them all.
Yeah. I can't finish any of them.
How long have you been doing your radio for?
6 years now. Well.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
More than 6 years, but I mean 6 years since I've been doing this radio
incarnation. Oh, okay.
But I've been doing it. I built a radio transmitter accidentally when I was 16. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I was, if you call that being on radio, because I was transmitting 100 yards across the playground, then yeah, I was on radio when I was like maybe 14. We found this device that was unearthed. It didn't have an earth. It was dangerous, but we found that we could put a signal into it and make a radio transmitter from it. So that was my... But anyway, that's another matter.
Well, no, I know you're into electronics and that kind of thing, and you're also a musician and a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... But you can kind of hang in there. I don't know. You just keep persevering.
You know what I do?
That's very Kappa.
And it went in, it was in the chat room as well. It's jazz. Yeah, it's
jazz.
Spontaneous. Yeah, I play spontaneous so music. Mm-hmm. So that has got to be, is that Vata?
It's Vata, and as well as being a musician. Uh-huh. And this is not to say that that Pitta and Kappas can't, mm-hmm. but people who have a lot of Vata tend to be creative types, artists, dancers, musicians.
Right.
Think about working with sound, you know, that's very etheric. It's very, has a lot of movement to
etheric
it.
Etheric structure.
About sound. Absolutely.
Structure in places and things that you can't see.
Yes. Exactly. So artists are constantly envisioning.
Sculptures of light. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Artists are constantly envisioning. They use their mind's eye to create.
Yeah.
So.
And my heart.
Always.
I create some, you know, people come to me and they give me their issues, and then I crunch it all up and give it back to them. And it was like, well, I already knew that, but like, how did you put it together in that way? And thank you. And then, you know, it makes sense of their own realities. By, you know,
absolutely,
yeah.
So, Kappa people are quite heart centered.
Good.
So you got it.
Good. Means I'm not a complete. I'm egotist who is, I'm not just believing my own hype about this. This is really happening. So that's good.
Exactly. So for our elders, elders tend to have a lot of trouble with, sleeping at night. There's a lot of insomnia that can occur. This is tending to be actually a problem for people who are younger now too, more and more. I'm seeing more people with issues with sleep. It just seems to be creeping up more and more. But particularly for our elder years, because Vata is increasing, so air and ether, that creates more movement, like restlessness in the body and also in the mind. And so but then that can create fatigue in the day, of course, if you're not sleeping well at night. So one practice you can, Vatas can do is to really make an effort not to take a long nap in the day. So it's kind of like you have to bear through it a little bit before you'll reap the benefits. So if you are finding that you're really exhausted, say after lunch, so a lot of elders will have a nap after lunch, to really keep it to about 15 or 20 minutes and not any longer than that. And eventually that will assist in helping you to sleep a little more soundly at night. So I've had a patient that recently just made an attempt herself not to, even though she would get super tired, she willed herself just to get up and go for a short little walk right after lunch when she was experiencing some sleepiness. And then her night sleep was dramatically better, dramatically improved. So sometimes just small changes like that, even though they take effort because we get into our habits and it's so hard to break, But small little efforts like that will have big results. And then sometimes we do need to change a practice over time before we see results. It really depends on the individual. Incorporating more in, yes.
Did you want to take a break?
Yeah, we could take a little break. Sure.
Oh, do you want to finish that thought and then we'll take a break?
Yeah, that's fine.
Go on.
So I was just going to say internal oleation, external oleation, which means putting, you know, warm sesame oil on your body is really great, to help ground vata. Eating more root veggies, eating more soupy, well-spiced food, practicing regular routines. If you take a nap, to try to shorten that nap to 20 minutes or to get up and do a gentle walk instead, just to improve any tendencies to insomnia. And then lastly, just going back to that walk instead of a nap, if you can incorporate some gentle exercise every day, that also will help. As long as it's for vatas, as long as it's a slower paced type of exercise, like gentle walking, as opposed to anything really vigorous or fast moving, that will aggravate vata. But yeah, we can continue after the break. That'd be great.
And welcome back. That was Pink Floyd. Yeah, the first ever album, Piper at the Gates of Dawn. That's what they sounded like then in 1967, before they were got big and bloated and famous and long notes and stuff with Syd Barrett. Anyway, my guest tonight, Shailene Tétreau, and we're aging rapidly.
Yes. yeah, and speaking of rapid, I got some good feedback. My husband came in during the break, and he's like, "Slow down, you're going so fast," which is quite vata.
You're getting quite vata there, yeah.
Vata, I'm getting vata aggravated, I guess is the right word. No, it's because I get excited, so my prana goes up, and then I start speaking too fast. So, yeah, so if people are like, "Slow down," that's, I got that feedback from hubby, so, so I'll try to slow down a little bit. Yeah, so if anyone has any other questions, you can definitely feel free to put them in. I think someone had asked a question about IBS, but I think it's too far up the chat feed for me to see at this point.
Well, let me see if I can roll it back and see if I can find it. But, well, I mean, when you talk about these situations that people have, IBS and Crohn's and all of these stomachy things, because in terms of aging us, this is where we chuck all the stuff that, well, really, this is where we hide all of our anxieties, and they go bad, don't they?
Well, absolutely. If we don't, according to the belief in Ayurveda, first, most diseases begin in our digestion, and they also take root in the mind. So if we don't properly move our emotions through our bodies, we don't allow them to be fully expressed naturally, and we start to suppress them and keep them within ourselves, then they have to find a place, and they start to settle in the tissues of our bodies. And so on another, I think it was during the summertime, we were talking a lot about the qualities of summer and heat and the dosha associated with that, which is pitta. We talked about certain emotions, heated type of emotions such as anger, tend to go towards the organs in our body that will hold a lot of heat. And so one of the most major organs that does this in our body is the liver. And I know that traditional Chinese medicine also has that understanding. For anxiety, a place that anxiety seems to settle will be in our gut. So meaning our, a little bit in our stomach. So you might see symptoms of GERD happen. Most people think that that's an imbalance in fire because of the acidity that travels from our stomach up into the esophagus. But it actually most often is an imbalance that is due to vata, because it's the improper movement of the hydrochloric acid from the stomach upward instead of from the stomach downward.
Peristalsis? Or anti-peristalsis as opposed to peristalsis, as we were
told. Well, it's actually before peristalsis. Yeah, it's before. It's in the stomach. So it actually has to do either with an upward motion, improper upward motion, as opposed to the proper downward motion, or a weakness in the muscle tissue. Sorry, that's my little toddler. She's going upstairs.
Just as we speak, she's being dragged off as we speak, off to herself.
She wanted to say hi, and she's...
Bless her little heart. Hello.
She wanted to see what I was doing.
Hi, so darling. I'm the madman that she's talking to. Funny uncle. Funny Uncle Jay.
Yes. Yeah, she's just kind of giving me the stick down now. But, for anxiety and GERD, it's either an upward movement or it's a weakness in the valves in our stomach area that's not allowing the hydrochloric acid to move downward, or it's not closing off the esophagus properly. But it all has to do with motion as opposed to excess heat. And then lower down in the intestines, so like ulcerative colitis, that's definitely often due to a lot of excess dryness in our colon. So if we don't have proper hydration within our colon, we don't have that protection.
Oh, come here, sweetie. Come here.
Come here, sweetie. Do you want to say hello?
Okay. Come here.
Hello.
Okay, she's settled now.
Alright.
Okay, baby.
You can hear me.
You're with mama. If we don't have proper protection and hydration in our intestines, then that starts to dry out and inflame the intestinal mucosa, and eventually, unfortunately, it also starts to degrade the tissue of the intestines and create ulcerations. And that happens a lot with excess vata, excess anxiety. It can happen with pitta a little bit of the fire element goes in there as well, but it's largely due to vata. So definitely ways to help calm and quell any anxiety and trauma that person's encountered, to really nourish that person on all levels, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. There are a lot of treatments in Ayurveda that incorporate the use, again, of oils that can be really helpful in alleviating a lot of anxieties for people. So there's a treatment actually where you basically, the patient just lies on the table and you basically just pour warm oil all over them. They just lie there. And so they're just receiving all of this oil. And some people actually don't like the thought of that, but then once they experience it, it's completely opposite for them. It's really nourishing and supportive. And unless you have a ton of water in your constitution, it's going to feel wonderful. It's going to be a really helpful, grounding, nourishing treatment. There's basically oil treatments for all parts of the body. So a lot of our elders, if they receive a lot of the oleation treatments, will receive wonderful benefits. So there's oleation of the head, particularly at the third eye, which is really a great treatment for our elders. It helps to calm vata, and it can help improve memory loss, particularly if you use an herb called Brahmi in the oil. Brahmi is a great herb that helps to support memory function. Gotu Kola is another wonderful herb, and they're kind of highly related to each other in terms of their benefits. And Shiradhara, so it's warm oil that's poured. It's a continuous stream of warm oil that's poured over the forehead. And so the patient is just lying on the table and receiving this oil. And it helps tremendously with insomnia as well. So, and headaches, if you get a lot of headaches, it can help with that quite a bit. Lots of oil is just super helpful for vata types. You can also have oleation of the eye. So someone who has chronic dry eyes, a lot of our elders have problems with their eyesight. can help nourish the eye tissues and restore better eyesight for them. So basically, as a patient, you're lying on the table, and the practitioner will create what's called a dough dam. So you use chickpea flour and water, and you make, you know, kind of like a dough, and then you wrap this dough around the perimeter of someone's eye. So it's like a little dam, like kind of encases the eye in a dam of dough. And the patient's lying down, and you gently pour in warm ghee or other kinds of warm oil. And so the patient will just lie there for about 15 minutes and blink and receive the oil through their eye. And again, it's very nourishing and grounding, and it's something that sounds a little bit scary at first, but it can be great for relieving dryness in the eyes. So I guess just to go back really quickly, someone asked a question, what do you think of cannabis? It's a medicine that's used in Ayurveda, but there's a lot of, and I haven't used it in my practice at this point, but there's a lot of different processes and purifying that herb goes through before it is used for treatment. But I think it's a beautiful herb. It needs to be treated with respect, and used properly in order to have healing benefits. But I think it's a wonderful herb. Absolutely. And I don't know enough specifically about different types of cannabis. But the different processes for purifying cannabis is quite extensive in Ayurveda. So, yeah. So other types of oleation, actually, bastis, those are used quite a bit in Ayurveda, and basti simply means a container. And so traditionally, I think there were different kinds of animal bladders that were used, but now you can just use a bottle, and they're actually medicated enemas that are used to restore vata. So like I said before, the home place of vata in the body is in the colon. But because vata is all about mobility and motion, it tends to leave its home site out from the colon and move to different areas of the body. And so the best way to bring vata back home is to work with a practitioner and incorporate the use of bastis. And so these are either water or oil type enemas. And it's quite effective, actually. And not as scary or weird as people may think. So those are some other practices. So just think oil. Oil, as long as you can digest, okay. As long as you're able to digest oil, okay, then definitely think about incorporating that more into your life. And if you can't, if you're at a place where your digestion is a little bit low or is variable, sometimes you're hungry, sometimes you're not. This happens a lot with our elders. Their appetite tends to wane a little bit, and they start eating less. There's different practices that you can put in place to help to nurture your digestion and your appetite. So one would be certainly to use a little bit more spices like cumin, coriander, ginger is really great, to start adding more spices into your foods. I think in the typical American diet, and it's probably similar over there in Scotland, if memory serves.
You tried Mars bars and haggis?
Oh my god.
In batter? Lovely. In batter.
I haven't tried the Mars bar in batter, but I definitely tried haggis because I was living in Scotland and I had to.
You had to. It's part of the way of life. Haggis and whiskey and thistles.
Yes.
Thistle flavored ice cream.
I've stepped on thistles.
Oh, I bet you have.
Like little
hypodermics, they are.
Yes, they are. They are. And
actually, have you seen a berberis plant? They're armored hypodermics.
Oh my gosh!
They went in my feet. It hurts.
Is that different than...
inch and a half long.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that different than burdock root?
But no, yeah, this is the Burberry.
Oh, no.
Berberis. And it's like the Burberry brand and things. But bloody, I was just about to say an F word. Really long, really long. An inch and a half long, really rock hard needle. They are. They're murder. They're little. So anyway, I got a whole tree of these in my garden. Somebody said that I should eat the berries because they probably have a good healing thing for me, rather than let the needles go through into my feet.
Right, exactly.
Probably a better kind of way of injecting it into my body.
Probably. But maybe you needed a little bit of acupuncture.
Yeah, yeah, or a lot.
Or a lot.
Oh
my gosh.
But I have to say, all this walking in Ireland, my feet have it's really done my feet a lot of good.
So, that's great. I know, I've been wondering how your feet are doing, actually.
Yeah, well, because there's been a lot of healing going on. And that's part
that's
of
so
the
great.
Healing. That's really good.
It is
so my feet feel a lot better in my feet. In Canada, they have a thing about, you feel good in your skin. There's a phrase, isn't there?
Huh. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, just thinking about feet, that's actually another practice in Ayurveda to help with sleep, is to warm up some sesame oil and to put warm sesame oil on the bottom of your feet. So that's another way to actually help ground your mind, is to put warm oil on your feet. And then, of course, people always worry about getting oil on their sheets. So what you can do is either just try, get an old towel and try to gently wipe off a little bit of the oil, or get an old pair of socks. I personally cannot sleep with socks, but some people can. So get an old pair of socks and leave the oil on your feet. And that can help tremendously with alleviating insomnia. So that's a really great practice for people to do. For our elders to do, or for anyone who's having trouble with sleep. So, but yeah, there's so many herbs out there, that can help balance vata. And so again, when we think about just about where roots are in the earth, you know, and roots, they're dense, they're packed with nutrition usually, nutrients of the plant, particularly if the plant has gone from, fruiting down to going back to growing their roots when you're supposed to harvest them. So if you take, like I was talking about ginger root before, I guess it's a rhizome, but it still has similar qualities. It's heavy, it's dense, it's a warming root. You know, it's been kind of tucked away in the earth. That's a really wonderful herb for vatas to use. you can make a tea. So just get some fresh ginger. And you really actually want to use, if you're a vata person or if you're in your elder years, you want to try to use fresh ginger instead of dry ginger, because dried ginger is too drying for a vata person who has the quality of dryness. So fresh ginger root, if you want to just grate, use like a cheese grater and you grate about a small handful, whatever your hand is. Small handful of ginger and about 2 cups of water. Bring it to a boil and can boil the ginger for a couple of minutes and then make yourself a nice warming tea that way. If you do drink milk, you can add some whole organic milk to that as well. And that will make the tea a little bit more substantial. So that's a nice herb to work with, as well as putting that in your food, of course. That's really good. So, roots are great in general. Ashwagandha is another Ayurvedic root that is used a lot for people who have vata imbalances or for people in their elder years. You can even get an ashwagandha ghee. So ashwagandha root that has been cooked down into a ghee. And ghee, if people don't know what that is the clarified butter. So it's just the oil of the butter. And that oil, for some reason, has the ability to nourish all the tissues of our body. So it'll nourish the fluids of our body and the muscles and the bones of our body and the nerves. We actually need a good amount of fat to nourish the nerves of our body. So I know, JP, you had brought up earlier about not eating a lot of fat.
I I'm really glad that in the 70s and 80s, when this was a popular fad, that I noticed people looking very horrible when they lost weight.
Oh, fad. You mean the low-fat fad?
Yeah, the low-fat fad, and everybody started getting low-fat and all this stuff. And then, look, I remember Angelina Jolie when she was hot and juicy and succulent.
Yes. Right?
First film. And then they said, "Oh, you're too fat."
Right.
You know, these men who don't like women. And then she started not eating fat and her body shrank to look, and she looks like a kind of, and that other girl, what was her? Posh Spice. You know, the one that married Beckham.
Yes. You're definitely dating yourself, Jimmy.
I'm dating myself. I'd like to date myself. I'm so hot. Anyway, meanwhile.
Well, I remember the fad because I was young. I was actually a teen during those times with the whole low fat craze, which is a horrible misunderstanding because if we don't receive enough fats in our diet, we undernourish all of our tissues and definitely our nervous system.
Because our nervous system and the material around our muscle fibers is, what is it, Shillian?
Oh, it's fat.
It's fat.
We're made of.
Fat is not bad. Yeah. Fat is love. Yeah. Fat is containment. Fat is love. Love is oil. Sneha is oil. And oil and fat and wax is oil in a coil. Not a lower temperature octave. Cool. Yeah, do you like that?
I do.
Yeah. Cause it'll put the mudras in your pujas, right?
Oh my gosh, you have to like come up with these things for me. It's great. I want to quote you on all these things. It's great.
This stuff, fat, which is all the things we were taught to hate in the 70s and 80s and became, you know, and then it became part of our consciousness. Oh, we must avoid that lovely lard. You know, why would anybody want to eat that heavy old stuff? Well, maybe your organs need it to separate themselves from bloody pests.
Right.
Because that's what it's done. By removing the fat from our diet, it's allowed our organ walls to become susceptible to things like flatworm. Isn't that true, Jalen?
From an Ayurvedic perspective, medas, which is closely associated with the tissue of fat in our body, its function is to protect. So it protects our nervous system. It protects, like you said, our organs. It protects our muscles. It also adds to protection against outside forces, whatever they may be, energetically and physically. And when we don't have enough medas or fat in our bodies, we feel that sense of undernourishment. So it's definitely something to consider. And at the same time, most of us, if we do reach a state of being overweight, this doesn't tend to happen to people in their advanced elder years, but before we reach that state, most of us, if we don't have a lot of kapha, because kapha people just tend to have a lot more physicality to them, and they tend to be naturally rounder, which is perfectly normal and fine and good. But if we tend to be overweight, it's because we're probably eating a lot of refined sugars without a proper balance of other types of food. It's not so much the fat. Although I will say a lot of meat, because meat is very heavy and hard to digest, that will contribute. But it's really the refined sugars and refined flours that will contribute to weight gain. So, as well as eating without mindfulness, or eating in the middle of the night, or eating before your last meal has been properly digested, all those kind of things.
Or eating before a flight.
Eating before a flight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to digest food when you're
eating before a flight when you've already eaten quite a lot the night before with some slightly dodgy fish.
This sounds quite personal.
Hit the ground running, did I? Yes.
Then you had the purge. I've talked to you several times where you've had a purge a day or two before.
You know, it's funny. You know, you may have that effect on me, Shalim. that you may be part of like my sort of soul health routine. And yeah. Just your mere approach is enough to make me puke. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. Like you're so pure, your vibration is so pure that I have to let go of anything that is impure in me.
And well, that's a good thing.
That's what happens when people meet saints, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself saintly, but
I would.
You know, we all do our part.
I would. I think you're just really you know your stuff. Yeah. Anyway.
Very sweet. Thank you. I'm actually in the middle of, I'm continuing my education right now. And so up until February, let's just say I'm under quite a few deadlines and supervision, which is wonderful and terrible.
You're under supervision. Big Brother is watching. Are they watching now? Should we say hello?
Hello. Some people are watching. They're watching me.
They're watching.
Yes.
Really?
Some people are, and it's wonderful, but it's a lot of work.
Can you reveal why they're watching you? Not just because absolutely. when people on this kind of show, when people like they're being watched, it's usually the FBI or the CIA.
Well, not negative. Not a negative type of watching. No, I actually, right now I have a team of colleagues and also people with more experience than myself that are helping me by overseeing my patient cases. And so that just means when I work with a patient, I meet with someone who looks over my case and is just either giving me recommendations or suggestions for what I've decided for the patient's treatment plan, or they're simply approving what I'm already doing. And it's good. It's just another set of eyes and ears. And so when I'm working with my patients right now, it's really a team of us that are working together. And I love
That's good. It's good to have, because actually what you're talking about, somebody's got your back. Because if things get too weird for you, you have somebody with a bit more experience, eh?
Exactly. Exactly. Because you never want to have to turn a patient down, but yet you have to be responsible and know where, you know, just where your limits are. So it's just a great experience, and it's a heck of a lot of work, but it's totally fine. It's all by choice. It's all by choice. So someone's asking about stevia.
Yes.
So stevia, best in powder or liquid form, or would you recommend a better sweetener? Yeah, I haven't worked a lot with stevia, and I think there's different understandings about working with that herb in terms of for a sweetener. I think it is a fairly good choice from the little that I do know, meaning you can digest, it digests a little bit slower than other types of sugars. And I don't know if it's better in powder or liquid form. I'm thinking that whichever one is processed the least would be better. So if I think about powder, I think, it's probably just the leaf that's, dried and then put it made into a churna or into a powder. And then when I think about liquid, that makes me think like it's either been heated up with some kind of glycerite or water or something like that, and that may not be as beneficial. But in any case, I tend to use maple syrup more because that's more local to my area, and then also raw honey is a good choice because there's beneficial enzymes in there. As long as it's harvested sustainably.
Local honey as well is good, isn't it? Because of the
local honey is great. No, local honey is the best. Yeah, raw local honey is really the best. You don't want to cook with honey, though. That's the only thing. In Ayurveda, there's an understanding that when you cook honey, it actually creates more ama or there's no way you can digest the honey properly. It will create metabolic wastes in your body. So honey is best not cooked. So stevia, I don't have a lot of experience with. But I would say just on a hunch, powder would be better than liquid just because it's not processed as much. But if you're craving a sweet taste, a lot of people think that gives you like this big energy boost. You know, if you have sweeteners or the sweet taste is actually can be beneficial for Vata. And I'm not saying, okay, now everyone go out and eat some cookies. The sweet taste is actually, it has a quality of heaviness to it. And so,
when we use refined sugars, it doesn't have that beneficial effect, but it's the sweetness that we're craving to help balance the vata. So it's actually much better to get our sweet taste from foods that have that quality within them, such as root vegetables, which I've talked about before. They actually have the sweet taste inherent in them, as well as a lot of whole types of grains, like basmati rice or something like that, that has the sweet taste inherent in it. And that would be a better choice than going for the sweeteners that we use in baked goods. So just to extend that a little bit more on sweeteners. All the tastes that we experience, salty and pungent and sour, astringent and sweet, they have all different effects within our body. So sweet, like I said before, has a heavy quality to it and a building quality. So it helps to build tissue in our body. So that's actually a very good taste for our elders and for anyone that is having, issues or imbalances with vata. And then on the opposite side, so someone that is having imbalances with kapha, they're actually better enjoying more of the, astringent and pungent tastes, because those tastes actually help to reduce tissue in our body. So it's all about balance. And, you know, like I said, it's very individual. It really depends on each person, what they need. And our symptoms are just a way of starting to tell us what our body needs. You know, any discomfort, any symptoms that we start to experience, it's just like a little communication to ourselves, like, okay, something is not quite right here and we need to kind of address this and bring some awareness to it. So, that's kind of that. So just to talk a little bit more about vata, right now in the US, it's autumn or fall. I don't know. I think you say autumn over there. That sounds more appropriate.
Autumn. That's right.
We call it fall over here.
Do you know what? You see, I went to Utah a few years ago with my crazy wife. come here and join this cult. No. Okay. That was the end of it. Anyway, but we went in October and it was quite incredible. Cause it's something we don't have in Britain. We have this kind of season, you know, and suddenly the trees go, but it was literally the trees go orange, brown, drop, like on one day, you know, it's like, oh, that was the fall. Wow. It really did. It just, everything fell. No wonder they call it the fall. But I always, whenever they say, oh yeah, I'll see you after the fall. And I always think that after the fall of the great empire and we're all, it's like a after the fall to me is like a post-apocalyptic nightmare scene, you know, everybody's driving around in, Mad Max, electric solar panel vehicles, but actually being quite nice to each other. But it's anarchic and kind of punky. And, I run a healing center with colored lights. It's a very beautiful place and people come to visit. And, you'd be very welcome to come and, maybe even work there for a while.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would definitely be into that. Yeah. I have to keep that on my list when I travel again.
It's going to be on your list. Near Findhorn, not far away.
Yeah, I'm there. I was just thinking about that today, that I really am bummed out. I never went to Findhorn when I was living there. So. That was something I'm like, oh, I have to get back there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Can feel it. You know, I can really, you know, feel your energy. There's a part of you that is here. There is a soul fragment.
Oh, I've had a lot of experiences there.
You've got a soul fragment here for sure. I can almost feel it. It's tangible.
Yep.
So, so that'd be really cool. It'll be a real trip. I tell you, it'll be, absolutely. you might hit the ground puking, but,
No, that's your job.
Well, you see, it's a whole empathic thing. You know, it's like the whole trip.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the physical response to other people's imbalances doesn't happen a lot to me, although it did happen several weeks ago because I was working on someone that I, a dear friend that I I care a lot about. And this person was experiencing specific digestive upset. And so I was working with her and doing a treatment. And then, you know, later that day I had the exact same. And it was just an hour or two later. So I don't feel it was like a pathogen. I don't feel like it was anything viral. Cause it wouldn't have transmitted that quickly.
I have a lovely little story like this.
Oh yeah. And I thought, oh my gosh, I took, you know, whatever happened, you know, I had some kind of response.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen to me usually. I usually don't have that kind of empathic type of physical response.
Okay, so. Check this out. There's a friend I saw this evening, okay? And she comes in limping. I say, what's wrong? Now, she is a district nurse.
Okay? Mm.
And, a local healer, she goes around all these different places.
So district nurse means a visiting nurse?
Yes. Okay. She drives around and visits different people who can't come out of their house to go to the hospital and things. So.
Sure.
So she comes in, she's all limpy. It's like, what's going on? Anyway, so she's had one of her clients broke her foot on the step. As she stepped out of her house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, get this. So she steps out of the house and she breaks her foot, my friend. And then, the dog steps out of the house and breaks his foot on the step.
No, that's strange.
That is pure strangeness. It's a strange universe and we just work here. To quote Sean, it really is. It's getting stranger and stranger these days.
It is. I mean, that is actually a wonderful story, although I wish no pain on anyone. That's almost fabulous.
This is a confluence of vibration.
Yes, absolutely.
And as you were saying before, the animal has no consciousness of how it works, but the animal still suffered because it took on this enormous energy, which broke three people's... I had something similar a few years ago. You know, I did my back in and the person who came to work on me slipped over on the horse and boom, and was laid up even worse than I was.
Oh, wow.
That was great. You know, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking that on, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's a confluence of vibration and we treat that which we need to trigger.
Yes.
It's hard to see it that way
sometimes.
I can't take responsibility for this thing, you know, in the same way that the poor lady whose house it was who broke her foot in the first place can take any responsibility for her or a dog. But somewhere in the line, there's, you know, this energy has entered in there and created a vibrational confluence that brings those three events all in the same time and space. And it's saying something.
Yeah. It is something.
And
absolutely.
I said to her, you know, because I know her father, you know a male Aquarian, don't you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Cool. So anyway, we'll see.
There's a little story
for you.
That's a good story. Anyway, I recovered pretty quickly, but I thought, I need to be aware of this, you know, if possible, to just prepare a little better when I work with people I have an emotional connection with. So someone's asking a question. This is kind of far back a little bit. They're saying, would there be an Ayurvedic treatment for controlling uncontrolled Kundalini release? That's a good question. And I would unfortunately have to ask you more questions. Like, was this something that happened because someone was assisting you to have a Kundalini awakening? Was this something that you did on your own? Was it something that happened spontaneously without any preparation? There's so many questions. And also, what's happening to you? Like, what are you experiencing now in terms of any kind of discomforts? You know, are you unable to sleep? Are you feeling a lot of nerve pain and where in your body and that kind of thing? So one way that some Ayurvedic practitioners may work with this is using marma point therapy, which is similar to acupressure. And so marma points are these little centers, these little doorways, these little portals on our body. And there's at least 108 of these points on specific places on each of our bodies. And so that can help to redirect misdirected Kundalini. Also, there's different types of pranayama, which is breath work. But it actually would be appropriate for you to try to seek out a kundalini yogi and someone that's extremely responsible and extremely experienced to help you with that. So you can incorporate both Ayurvedic practices and also working with someone who is an experienced kundalini yogi to help redirect that uncontrolled kundalini release. So hopefully you're doing okay, because that can be quite difficult to deal with.
Spontaneous release, it says here. Silver lightning.
Oh, spontaneous. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, it sounds like, I mean, it sounds like, some of these things that I've had over the years is, if I relax, to a particular degree, I start getting these kind of lightning bolts through my body. Mm-hmm. And, my teacher said this is something called Kriya. What happens is eventually if I allow the kind of spark to go all the way, my hands form these shapes that you see in, pictures of Buddhas.
Oh, mudras.
Yes.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
So that just happens intuitively and just by listening to your body's
My body, knowledge. It's like if I don't stop my body from doing it,
mm-hmm.
like sit still, you know.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. I just allow it to happen, that's what happens, and it swaps from one to the other. And I realized that when you look at these pictures of Buddhas with 400 arms, they're not 400 arms. They're just the different positions that the two arms make.
Ah, right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. That's a really great way to look at it, actually. Yeah, they're different mudras, and also often they'll be holding different objects in their hands that have different attributes or meanings to them. So that's really interesting. I only know a few mudras, have been taught just a few simple ones. But the points of our fingertips have different elements associated with them. So if, let's say, I believe the
All
thumb
right. so,
is...
So when you come to see, we'll sit yeah. together, and you will then be moved by the same mudras.
Oh, cool.
That would be really cool. That would be a really cool thing to do. All right. What's this space, people?
I just have to wait for my little daughter to get a little older.
Yeah. I'll see.
Take her on.
Yeah, 5, 6, 10 years. I don't know. Whenever.
Yeah. We have time. We have time.
TJ.
Definitely. Yeah. I really feel for your listener, spontaneous release. Yeah, try to seek someone out. I don't know where you live, but you're going to try to find someone close to you to help you out with that, for sure, and turn it into a more positive experience for yourself.
Silver lightning needs a lightning rod.
Yeah, but that's a good name.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where are you, Silver? I think it's a she. That's horrible. That's horrible, TJ. I'm going to remove that. No, bad man.
It's not horrible. It's actually great. It reminds me of something my brother would do.
Yeah, with the setting fire to things, yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
People talk about illuminated people, you know.
Well, that's one way to become illuminated.
Yeah.
Ass backwards.
Yeah, that's right. You think you work with assholes. Anyway. we're about 7 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Okay.
It's been lovely, as always, to have your wisdom and, your perspective to look at the way we look at things. You know, we're taught such bullshit, right? And, this system has been around for a long time. It works. We know it works, and it has an understanding that reflects some of the traditions that are in tatters these days. And, you know, I'd like to see a rebuilding of a maybe not just a Western Eastern thing, but a global understanding of the way things are and the way things work.
Mm-hmm.
And by combining the East with some really sensible traditions of the West, like Hahnemann's homeopathy and Edward Bach's flower remedies.
Yes.
Vibrational treatments, Shari Edwards sound healing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I need to speak to that woman.
We need to now. Perhaps one day you could come on a round table.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Of grandmothers.
I'd like a kid in a candy shop.
Wouldn't it be lovely? I'd love to hear you. You'd have some brilliant questions, I imagine.
Yeah, I would. Well, I don't know if they'd be brilliant questions, but I would have questions, and I'd also just be all giggly because I find her to be quite inspiring and extremely interesting.
Isn't she? She's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, so sweet, like very genuine as well, which is a great combination. So if I, can I just give a little bit of my info out there? It looks like
have you got any books coming up? Have you got any?
No, I have an outline for a book.
Ooh, stay tuned.
I just have to get through this next phase of my education.
Okay, website. Website. What earns you money, by the way? Is there anything that, that you can promote that will, you know, sustain you through the college years?
Well, I have a practice, and I mostly see patients in my office. I can do some online consultation, but it's ideal that the patients come to my office. So I see patients regularly, either doing consultation for Ayurveda, or I also do some of the Ayurvedic body therapies, and I've been doing that for about 10 years. And then people can reach me. My website is chelynt.com, chelynt.com. And my contact info is on there. And Silver Lightning, I do have resources for you in San Diego if you are interested. So you can get in touch with me if you wish. If you feel like you need some assistance, I can kind of put you in touch with a practitioner I have in mind that could lead you in the right direction. So, so I do some online consultations and then also a lot in person. And I usually see patients fairly regularly for a time because it's really about asking the patient to incorporate new practices and changes into their lives over time. So there's a really kind of close connection that I foster with my patients because they're going through quite a transformative time, and they kind of need a lot of regular visits for a time to get through whatever it is that they're getting through. And, yeah, book is on the horizon, so I just have to, after I'm done this next piece of education, I just have to get my head down and do it. I'm hoping to co-write it with another wonderful teacher and practitioner, so that should be a really great collaboration.
Just record your telephone calls and get somebody to type it up and then publish it. That's all you need.
Oh my gosh, that's such a great idea.
Wouldn't that be easier? Just, that's the way you do it.
That would be great.
Just download it. You know it.
Okay, well you do have the archives, so.
Yeah, that's the way we, you know, some people could approach their interviews here as that. Let's put it that way. And, you know. Just download and get it typed up and away you go. I mean, at least as a framework.
Yes. No, that's great. Thank you whoever posted my website.
Zany Dragon Rider.
Thank you, Zany Dragon Rider. Great names. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like these. These are a lot of Vata people here.
I think. The Vata spirit people. Well, yeah. I have to say, we've got it's like this, it's wonderful to come back to see the numbers here. You know, Simon Parks wasn't here today. We had Audrey. And although there wasn't hundreds of people here, like they do sometimes crowd in, you know, thankfully the building hasn't broken yet. But the, we've opened up the side wings, but we've had a really nice audience here, and there's a lot going on in the chat room, and it's really great to see that, because this is like the day when everything that I've been working with and for kind of all brings together and makes sense, and it's wonderful. Great. I'm very thankful to you and Neil and Audrey who have made this day a very special day.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And I'm kind of happy that I was speaking on the same day as Audrey.
Cause, isn't.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back and listen. to his peace. But just before I leave, because I know we're closing now, but just to say, everyone out there, really try to really nourish and support and listen to your elders. It's really, we need to bring that back more. They're gifts. Everything they've gone through and experienced, they're gifts. Thanks everyone for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks, JP.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Shelin NT. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Beyond.